And many people have talked about those rising food prices in Egypt, helping to drive the protesters and their anger against the current regime. And we're going to talk more about food prices in Egypt and their connection to the uprising. But first, a little story about food prices here in the United States. Global food prices rose for the seventh straight month as of January. The UN's food price index is now at its highest level in 21 years. Perhaps you don't think that's really a big deal. Maybe it doesn't affect the United States. Well, it turns out that new data just this week shows that some of our best breakfast items, orange juice, coffee, could in just a few years be considered luxury items. Louise Story is with us from our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Is that overstating it, that some of the common food things that we were used to buying at the grocery store could become luxury items in the future?
Well, they're definitely getting more expensive. I mean, if you want some coffee in the morning, the prices, you know, for coffee are up over 40%. And if you want some sugar in that coffee, up 82%. If you want some cereal, well, you know, oats are up 36%. This is data from a research firm called Hedgeye. And what we're really seeing is the effect, a lot of economists think, of the Fed's huge buying program of treasuries. There's a kind of a complicated relationship between the value of the dollar and food prices, but it affects American consumers and people in Egypt.
Isn't this inflation? I mean, I realize the Feds have been, Ben Bernanke, have been assuring us that they don't really see any signs of inflation, but isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, you know, the most common measure of inflation that people use excludes food and energy prices from it. It's something economists debate constantly because, of course, we can measure food and oil prices, and we can see, you know, oil is also up right now. Oil prices are up a lot, and that affects food prices. So, you know, some people say that it is. I mean, what some economists are saying is that, you know, QE2, that's that big program where the Fed is buying up all those treasury bonds to try to get the American economy going. Well, when you put all that extra buying power into the economy, what it does is that then other people don't want treasuries as much, and so it pushes down the value of the dollar because they're not putting their money in the dollar. And when the value of the dollar goes down, that means you need more dollars to buy the same food. Mm. And the American economy is so big that when you push the dollar down, you push food prices up here, it pushes them up worldwide. And so, you know, you can kind of take these policies for our own economy to the 10th degree and connect it, you know, some people say a bit tenuously, but some people argue you can strongly connect it all the way to food prices causing rioting in Egypt.
Wow, that's amazing. Why do they exclude energy and food from inflation figures? Is that because so few people buy energy and food?
No, of course, energy and food affect, you know, our daily lives. It's just that food and energy are often considered, you know, and particularly in the last years, they're kind of volatile, and so they're not in there. But it is something economists debate a lot about why, you know, the main measure, why you don't just include those.
Yeah, the thing that we actually eat three times a day, if not more, and heat and cool our homes and run our cars with, that would seem to be a pretty good measure of whether we're spending more to live.
That's right. And of course, you know, oil has a big effect on food prices because food companies often ship their food all around the world because though we're all trying to eat more local, we don't really eat that much local. Your food comes from all over. So the higher oil prices are also affecting food prices.
So Bernanke thinks he's stabilizing the world economy by using the QE2 program. But in fact, you say one could argue he's actually aiding instability if we look at what the impact of food price increases are in Egypt.
There are pros and cons to every policy. That's just a con. I mean, the pro is if it really gets the American engine going, you know, the American engine and the American economy affect the entire globe, and that can be a good thing over the longer run. But it's tough for now.
And could end up bringing some of those prices down. Louise Story is a Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, thinking of a time in the years to come when perhaps drinking a cup of orange juice is something only for the wealthy. Mm.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.